a chemical or a mixture of chemicals that upon burning produce a sudden violent burst of gas that expands with great force is an explosive device. In 1866, a Swedish explorer by the name of Alfred Nobel came up with what we call dynamite. It is a form of explosive that can burn 10 times as fast as gunpowder, rolled up as a stick, and lit. Large buildings can be torn down with a relatively small amount of explosives when they're carefully placed. Several years ago, the Greenville Memorial Auditorium, the old Greenville Memorial Auditorium, you remember what happened? They placed certain sticks of dynamite and they made that building collapse to the ground. It takes an expert to know how to bring down that building. Where are they going to put the dynamite? How much of it will it take? Will it damage the buildings around them? There must be a plan. Now, you and I, last Sunday, those of you who were able to be with us, and if you're not, we're picking up on a new chapter. But we began a series of sermons about how to whack away the walls in our lives. How do we bring down those walls that keep us from being what God wants us to be? How do we bring down those walls that keep us from receiving all that God has for us?
Come on, brother.
We've built walls. And so we began to look at how do we bring these walls down. We discovered there must be a personal preparation. You've got to get yourself where yourself needs to be. We watched Joshua as he was walking back and forth, wondering how in the world he was going to get the walls down and claim the blessings that God had for him. He was constantly looking down at the ground. And then all of a sudden, when he looked up, he saw a man. Can I remind you, church? Quit looking at the ground. Thank God we're not alone.
Hey.
Thank God that any wall that is built in our life, been built up in our life, can come down with the help of God himself.
Amen, brother.
It doesn't matter what you're facing today. Our God is far greater. It doesn't matter, church, what you may be encountering. Can I tell you, our God can help you. We do not have a powerless, helpless God. Hallelujah. We have a God who can do what he wants to do.
Amen.
And so we began to watch. You've got to get yourself. You've got to see that there's a captain of the army. And hallelujah, his name is Jesus. There must be that personal preparation. And then there's a second step. There must be a plan, a powerful plan to bring down those walls. Now, after Joshua got himself prepared, then came the plan. And listen, you'll never get the plan until you prepare. Jericho, according to verse 1, chapter 6, the book of Joshua, was filled with fear as they heard the news that the Israelites were on the move. And because of that fear and frustration, they ordered that no one would come in the city and no one would go out the city. The city was locked up tighter than a drum. And if the Israelites, listen, if the Israelites were to claim their inheritance, they had to get to the other side of the wall. Now, many of us sitting in the sanctuary, if you're going to claim the joy and the victory that God has for you, you've got to get on the other side of the wall.
Amen.
Some of you have built a wall of pride. You think so much of yourself. Can I remind you, you are absolutely nothing.
Amen, brother.
Let me remind you. Some of us have built that wall of pride. And God says, I have more for you if you just get rid of that pride. Can I tell you, those in this building who think you can handle life by yourself, you can't do it without God.
Amen.
Gotta have.
Preach it, brother.
And so the wall of pride. The wall of prestige some of us build up. Well, we're just too dignified to be everything God wants us to be. We're afraid that we might be labeled with some kind of wild set of people. Can I tell you something, church? I want to be labeled as a wild person for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be labeled as a person who stands for Christ. And you got to get rid of that prestige. You're nothing anyway. You know what? Your heart beats just like everybody else's. Your heart will stop like everybody else's. We'll bury you like we do everybody else. So you're no different than everybody else. The only good thing is when you have Jesus living inside of you, we may bury the body, but hallelujah, we're still alive. Tear down those walls, the wall of power. I just want to be in charge. Bless God, if I can just be in charge of the church, if I can be in charge of this, and I can be in charge of that, can I remind you, Cedar Grove, there's not but one person in charge, and it's God Himself.
Amen.
I'll tell you, oh yeah, I like our deacons, support our deacons, we support each other, but can I tell you, they are not in charge of Cedar Grove. God in heaven is in charge of Cedar Grove.
Amen.
And you got to turn on those walls. There's a lot of blessings on the other side if we'll get rid of the wall. God has more for us. Some of you are just living the Christian life with no joy. Can I tell you, God never designed the Christian life to be boring and dull. He expected us to have a good time walking this life for Him.
Amen.
For it doesn't matter how many darts are shot at you. Thank God He has the shield.
Hey.
And so there's a lot of blessings on the other side. But we've got to get to the other side of the wall. And the more we try to move, the bigger the wall gets. The wall gets. For 10 or 10 minutes. Let me let you in on a little secret. The devil don't want the walls down in your life.
Come on, brother.
So Joshua knew that he had to come down. And so God gave him a plan. The plan entails two simple things. The plan entails, first of all, verse number 2, a promise. Now, when God gives us a plan to whack away the wall, He also gives us a promise. And can I remind you, the only promise that you can rely on is the Lord's promise.
Amen, brother.
So God began to speak to Joshua, and He told him to do what? Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, C-S-E-E. You realize that we don't see a lot of what God is doing because we don't look for what God is doing. He says, open your eyes, Joshua. Open your eyes, Joshua. Open your eyes and look around. We'll take care of this and we'll take care of it together. Church, I'll tell you one thing. We want to see all the negative, and we want to see all the bad stuff, and we want to see everything that we don't think God is doing. Can I tell you, just open your eyes and look, God is still doing some good things.
Amen.
He said, see. Look, look. The reason we are missing God's plan for our life is that we just simply simply won't look for his plan. To Joshua, he was saying to him, I want you to look with the eyes of faith. Now we can handle the law with fear, or we can handle it with faith. Fear says it can't be done. Faith says with God all things can be done.
Amen.
Fear says I'm in this thing by myself. Faith says no, you're not. You have a God who is bigger than anything you face.
Amen, brother.
Fear says run and hide. Faith says stand your ground. And Joshua could say, well, I forget it. I'll never get on the other side of that wall. And God says, hey, stop, see, look with the eyes of faith. And he gives him a promise. Here's what he said. I have given into thy hand Jericho. Now that's a promise. Did you notice it didn't say, I will give? I might give. He has already given it to Joshua. It's already his for the taking. There is no ifs, no ands, no buts about it. There is no secret ballot voting. There is no show of hands. God's done already given him what he needed.
Amen.
But they're behind the wall. And matter of fact, all the work has already been done. All Joshua's got to do is claim what is already his. Can I remind you, church, God has already given us what we need. God has already, it's not I will, thank God, he's already given it to us.
Amen.
We just got to claim. Claim what God has for you. Hallelujah. Claim the joy that God has for you. Claim the help that God has for you. Claim the hope that God has for you. And one of these glorious days, I am going to claim my mansion in a place called heaven.
Hey.
It's mine.
Thank you, Lord.
All mine. And thank God when it's tax time right now and people are trying to figure out how they're going to pay all their property taxes, my taxes have already been paid on my mansion in heaven. For Christ paid it all when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
So it's a promise. A concrete promise. Moses had to discover that. Daniel had to discover that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to discover that. With God, victory comes. God's given us a concrete promise. You want the wall down in your life and a more abundant lifestyle? He said, I've already given it to you. Now let me help you take down the wall. It's a concrete promise, but I know something else. It's also a complete promise. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now listen to this. Here's what he's saying. His promise is complete. When God helps tear down the wall, and the enemy's on the other side, God not only helps us tear down the wall, thank God, he takes care of the enemy on the other side.
Amen.
Who better knows what's on the other side of the wall but God? And so God says, I'll tell you what, you have the promise. You already have the city. Just go for it, Joshua. Just go for it. And when you get to the other side, all those who stand against you will be defeated.
Amen.
Why in God's name do we as children of God, why in God's name do we as a church of the living Lord Jesus Christ act like we're so defeated? Can I tell you, I've read the end of the book, and I can assure you of one thing. Thank God we have already won.
Amen.
When you tear down that wall of pride, the old devil stands and his crowd stands on the other side and says, you know what? They're just making fun of you. Build that wall back up. God says, I'm taking care of the devil and his crowd. Can I tell you something?
Amen.
When the devil and his crowd comes against you, the best thing for you to do, not try to handle it by yourself, let God take care of the devil
Amen.
And his crowd.
Amen.
What a promise. God says, hey, you have a promise that's found in this plan. There's a second thing. There, the plan entails a procedure. It's got a promise in it, but there's a procedure. Now, this is where we mess up. We've got to follow God's procedure the way He tells us. Let's be honest. Let's be honest, church. How many times have we said, well, I'm just going to do things my own way? I know what God's told me, but you know what? I think I can do it a little bit different and still be okay. No, no, no. The procedure, the plan that God has must be followed, or victory won't come. Let me give you a little, just a brief little thing that if you don't take anything away, take this away today. God's ways are always better than man's ways.
Amen.
Understand that? Whatever God tells you to do, and whatever man tells you to do, let me give you just one little bit of advice. Always do what God says to do. Man will get you in a mess. And you know what man said? Here's what man was trying to think about how we can get this wall down. Here's what they would say. The Israelites said, well, we'll starve them out. You know, if they don't have any food, they'll eventually die. Then we can claim what is rightfully ours. Others said, well, we'll get us a big ladder and scale the wall and dive down the other side. Others said, well, we can take those battering rams, you know, those great big old poles, and we can run against that wall. If we run against that wall enough, the wall will weaken, and eventually the wall will fall. But God says, you know what? I've got a better procedure than that. And it might sound stupid to you, Joshua, but it'll work. It will work. What's his procedure? Well, it involves cooperation. Look what it says. And you shall come past the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thou shalt thou do for 6 days. 6 days. Now look at verse 4. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And the 7th day you shall come past the city 7 times. Now you got this. You're going to walk around the city for 6 days. One time. On the 7th time, you're going to walk 7 times. And the priest will blow the trumpets. Now look at verse 5. And it shall come to pass when they make a blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Now here's what it involves. It involves cooperation. Now listen to me very carefully. If this church or any church does anything for God, we've got to do it together.
Amen.
Do it together. We can't have a handful pulling this away. We can't have a handful pulling this away. We can't have this group saying we're going to do this. We can't have this group saying we're going to do this. Here's what we've got to do. We've got to all come together as one big group under one head, which is Christ the Lord, and let Him tell us what we need to do.
Amen.
That's what He did. Now it involves several things. Listen to what it involves. It involves us stepping. They were to pass the city, surround the city, 320 acres of it. 320 acres of it. And they were to go around the city one time every day for 6 straight days. Now God's plan always involves stepping and not sitting. Sit on your rear end all you want to. But if God's plan involves stepping, nothing will happen in your lives. And we've been sitting around on our rear end so long waiting on God to do it all. God's not going to do it all, church. He expects us to do so much.
That's
Amen.
And so there was a step that involved. So they were to walk around that city. Can I assure you something? The walls in your life will not come down while you sit on the couch and do nothing.
Amen.
You know what it took? It took around 2 hours for the group to go around just one time. 2 hours. 2 hours. But I'll guarantee you one thing. No other procedure would work. And on the seventh day, they were to go around the city 7 times. That was going to take 14 hours of stepping around that city. 14 hours. Gosh. 14 hours. And some of you belly aches will go to 12, 15 on Sunday morning. Sometimes you have to give a little extra if you expect God to give you everything He has.
Amen.
Now, 7 being the number of completeness and perfection. And at that moment, they were to go around in silence. Now, you talk about silence getting on your nerves, it gets on your nerves. Nobody's speaking a thing. That's why I've been in bad shape. But you know what the silence was doing? The silence was getting to the people of Jericho. Nobody would say anything. They were just marching and stepping around that city. Can you imagine 4 million feet pounding the ground? Can you imagine that? Around that city and nobody saying a word. Nobody said a word. It starts out by stepping. Then there's a sound. You know what it says? Next in line would be the priest carrying the ark and 7 trumpets of ram horns. And they called that since it was taken out of the horn of a ram. That's how they made it. They used the ram's horn. That's why it was called. And most of the time, the priests were not involved in battle. But everyone must cooperate by doing their part. And here's what would happen. They would go around once a day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, they were to sound the trumpets. Now, the trumpet was known as the Jubilee trumpet. Now, there's a key to this. Now, listen. Celebration had already started and the wall had failed. That's faith. Don't wait till the wall falls, church, to celebrate. Celebrate before it ever hits the ground.
Amen.
For if you believe God's given you a procedure and you're following that procedure, and you believe God's going to honor you following that procedure, then go ahead and celebrate, for it's just a matter of time till the wall comes crumbling down.
Amen.
And I discovered something. The devil can't stand it when we celebrate before anything's been done.
Come on, brother. Amen.
Stand with a family waiting on service. And you pray this kind of prayer. Lord, help them through this surgery. We're already rejoicing at the effects of this surgery.
Amen.
When financial problems come, say, God, you know what? I'm struggling a little bit financially right now, but there's a better day around the corner. The devil can't stand it when there's a positive group of people who knows that God's going to come through.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So he said there's going to be a stepping and a sounding. If the sounding came before the stepping, the procedure would not work. Cooperation. Then listen to this. Then there's going to be a shout. When all the people, men, boys, and girls, heard the trumpets, they were to shout. That proves to me that a lot of folks who were walking around that wall were not Baptist folks, but Baptist folks struggle when it comes to shouting.
Come on, brother.
It's not about being Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of God. It's not even about being Methodist nor Presbyterian. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ and He lives inside of you, ever so often you've got to get excited about Him living inside of you.
Amen.
Never shout. And the good thing is, this is no little shout. It says, "I shall shout with a great shout."
Amen.
Some people say the preacher sure does get loud. You haven't seen loud.
Amen, brother.
You haven't seen loud. When I think about the greatest wall that I had built up in my life, was that wall that was built there, and on the other side of that wall was hell. And I invited Jesus Christ inside my heart, and He tore down that wall and saved my soul. And I am no longer doomed and down for hell. I can't help but say hallelujah. Thank God for His blood. And when I have a wall of drugs, and I have a wall of this and a wall of that, listen to me. There's some guys in this room, and there's some ladies in this room know what it's like when God takes over and tears down that wall when everybody says it can't come down. Can I remind you, with God, anything can happen.
Hallelujah.
Got a shout.
Glory, glory.
When a person steps out in the aisle of the church to give their heart to Christ, we ought to shout. When a person is baptized as a representation of what Christ has done in their life, we ought to shout. Amen. When we watch people move under the power of God, we ought to shout. When we see some old druggie walk down the aisle and give his heart to Christ, and Christ replaces that drug habit, we ought to shout. Bless God. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We ought to shout.
Thank you, Father.
And one voice would be loud enough. It says, let all the people shout.
Amen.
All the people. Now, if I understand heaven the way the Bible teaches it, we might not all shout down here, but when we get to heaven, we will all shout.
Amen.
When you look seated on that throne is the Lamb of Calvary. And you look at those hands that were pierced for us. And you look at those feet who endured nails for us. And you look at that brow with still the marks of that crown of thorns. Church, I'm going to tell you, every born again, redeemed, washed in the blood, child of God will shout around the throne that day and thank God and say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of Calvary. And if I keep this up, I'm going to heaven sooner than I thought I was.
Come on, brother.
Nowhere does it say Joshua did it by himself. Church, listen to me. It's not just the role of the pastor to get excited for Jesus. Every child of God ought to get excited about Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I will say when I shout and you shout back, it just says sick them to a dog. I can't help that. But you know what else it involves? Cooperation. But it involves a companion. Did you notice that it talked about, I think it was in verse 4, about the ark? You know what the ark's representation is? The presence of God. You can step around that city. Yep. You can sound the trumpets. And you can even shout. But can I tell you something? You can't survive without the presence of God.
Amen.
You can try to shout without Him. It's not near the shout. You can try to live your life without Him, but you can't live your life. Thank God for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And church, listen to me very carefully. There's no greater companion that you can have than the Lord Himself.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
And the only way to stop us from getting happy in church, and the only way you can stop me from getting excited about Jesus, is keep the presence of God on the outside. But can I tell you something? You may try to keep him on the outside, but hallelujah, since he lives right here, he's coming in with me. He's coming in.